How many times have you left the church service excited about the future? The pastor or preacher shared a good message, encouraged you, even prophesied over you about the change that was coming, about how your life would be different. And then after a few days or weeks or months, you discovered that nothing really, really changed. You're still fighting the same struggles, the same battles. And that brings us to many questions that when we hit those moments, we usually feel disappointed in ourselves, discouraged, that maybe it doesn't work, maybe the Word of God isn't true, maybe I'm not saved. So many different ideas and thoughts, and hopefully, prayerfully, the teaching on transformation has helped encourage you to know that you're not unique in this battle, that all of us have personal, rooted battles within our own selves of fighting against lies and deceit and desires for sin, desires for ungodly things, unhealthy things that we've had to overcome. And if we look at the people across the aisle from you in church, you may think, oh, look at them. They have it all together. I wish I could be like them. But at the same time, in their head, they're looking over at you possibly and saying the exact same thing. Oh, look at them. They have it all together. Most of us don't get down and share the real dirt of our struggles. And therefore, we think everyone else is strong and perfect and we are the weak ones. But it's interesting to find out how many people actually are going through the same things, the same type of battles that you are. And that's why I believe it's so important to share the message of transformation, because it tells you that you are in the process of transformation. It's not pretty, it's not fun, but it is powerful to helping you to become all that God promised you to be. I want to share a few verses today that help bring some more light to this process, and also to help free you up that, you know, you're probably doing much better than you give yourself credit for. And if you talk to God, you know, there's many times I get in the prayer line and the prophet would come and speak over me, and I was getting ready for a rebuke. I was getting ready for God to tell everyone all my business, thinking maybe I'll just wait, open my eyes on the floor as they're casting the devil out of me, and only to hear the prophet say, your father said he's pleased of you. And I'm wondering who he's talking to, because I can't find what I've done. But God does. See, God knows how hard you've been trying, how hard you've been pressing into him, and that you haven't given up. And he's pleased with you and in this process, that he's for you, not against you. It's very important that you understand that God is for you, that he believes in you, and he empowers you to keep growing, to keep maturing in the things of God, and to not get discouraged. It's so sad that so many people see it the opposite, that they have a God that's against them and disappointed in them every day. You know, someone said, I was going to fast for 7 days, only lasted for 3 days. I'm so disappointed. And it's like, you know, you did 3 days. That's pretty awesome. You know, most people don't even do that. And I was going to pray for 4 hours, only lasted for 2 hours. Well, okay, try again. But know that those 2 hours produced growth in you, will produce fruit in you. Good job. God is for you, not against you. I'm going to start in Matthew. We're going to read here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. This is a verse that some preachers get confused on. Beware of false prophets, this is Jesus speaking, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And maybe you've heard that last verse quoted and shared many times. By their fruits you shall know them. In context, what he's talking about here is really the message of salvation, that there's none of these prophets or Pharisees of the Jewish tradition trying to push the Old Testament forward that can help you find God. You're not going to find God in the Old Testament anymore. The pathway the Old Testament provided, the Old Covenant, has been abolished. It's been completed in Christ. Now the only way to the Father is through Jesus. And that's really what Jesus is trying to share with them right here, is that the Pharisees and the messages that come from the Old Covenant are from a bad tree, meaning that they're not saved. These preachers are not saved. Yes, they're talking about God, but they're not born again. And so the fruit that we're after is fruit that comes from salvation. That's the good fruit. So when he says that you'll know them by their fruits, he's really saying that the message they preach and the life they live should come from a good tree that can only be brought into existence at salvation. Jesus here is talking about salvation. No one on the earth at this moment had a good tree except for Jesus. Jesus was the only good tree in the whole earth. And that's the promise of salvation, is that you will receive the seed for the new nature in you, causing you to be a good tree on the inside. Maybe you've heard this taught to the extreme that, hey, if you have bad fruit, then you're not saved. If you have bad fruit, it's because you are a bad tree. You know, you got angry at the dog because it did something. You yelled or you cussed or you got angry. You had a bad thought. You had a bad moment. You lied. You exaggerated. You gave in to something. I don't think you're saved, because that's a bad tree. That's fruit from a bad tree, because you'll know them by their fruits. So some people take this to the extreme and share that anything that shows bad characteristics is because you are a bad tree. You're not saved. You have to get saved. This is where people get saved every Sunday. Because they think, well, I did good on Sunday, but on Tuesday I had a bad day and got emotional, got frustrated, got angry. So that's bad fruit, so I must be a bad tree. And so they feel they're never saved because they don't see the fruit of love, joy, and peace like Jesus had. The good tree he's talking about here is talking about you being born again. That when you got born again, you receive the new nature, causing your inner man to come to life. You now are that good tree. But because you are a good tree, it doesn't mean the bad tree goes away. When we're talking about our flesh, we understand that our outward man wasn't saved. Let's look real quick over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 10, the verse I've shared many times with you, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit, the inner man, is life because of righteousness. So the inner man came to life because of righteousness, but the body was left in darkness. It was left dead because of sin. It's been stained with sin. So when you have a bad day or you fail at something, you struggle with something, it's not because you're a bad tree, because you really are a good tree. It's because you're still wearing the outward man, the leftovers of the bad tree. The Bible calls it inner man, outward man, old man, new man, inner body, outward body. You have a new nature which brought to life your inner man, which means that you are a good tree. But why am I still struggling? Why am I still battling? Why do I still have these discouragements or depression or frustrations or desires for sin, desires for selfishness, pride? Why is that still there if I was saved? Well, because salvation didn't fix the outward man. It left it there for you to mortify. So transformation helps you to understand that you're still wearing the leftover of the old tree. The bad tree is still on you. You can't believe away. Let me be clear. You cannot identify away or believe away the flesh, the outward man. That's no longer who I am. I am the good tree. I am the new man. That's who I identify with. That's good. You should always do that. That's who you really are. That's the real you. That's why the Bible says when you stand before God, before Jesus, you'll be just like him. Because the moment you stand before Jesus, your outward body will be gone and you'll be completely righteous and holy. You'll have no desire for sin. In heaven, there's no desire for sin. There's no insecurity. There's no pride because the outward man is left on this earth. But right now, you're wearing that outward man. That's your outward body. And that's the understanding of transformation, that I am the good tree. I am born again because of the grace and faith in Christ. I am now born again. I am now a good tree. But I'm still wearing the flesh, the outward man, the body of the old tree. That means that the source, as a believer, the source of those wrong desires is not your root, because your root is in Christ. It's the flesh that you're wearing. So many believers, they use the language that I am a mess, I am this, I'm a sinner saved by grace. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. Now you're a child of God. And the reason you have struggles and battles that don't just disappear at a prayer line, that don't just disappear when you ask God, is because you're wearing the outward body, the bad tree. That part of the bad tree was not fixed at your salvation. Again, Romans 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. The outward body is left in darkness, left in death. It was not rescued at your salvation. That's why you walked away with many of the struggles that you came with. You weren't completely fixed. Oh, Lord, wouldn't that be great? You know, what an altar call. I've been angry and jealous and insecure, and I go down to get saved, and I leave, I'm perfect. No more struggles, no more battles. You'd be in heaven then for sure. And really, that's what Romans 8 is talking about, the battle and the struggle of being left with the outward man. So when we talk about the good tree and the bad tree in Matthew, I want us to understand that when we use those verses that, well, you'll know them by their fruit. In context here, he's talking about preachers, prophets, Pharisees who are trying to stop people from believing in Jesus. And Jesus is trying to be clear with them that unless you become a good tree, unless you get born again and become a good tree, you are always going to be a bad tree. But when we use this verse against Christians, sometimes it can be destructive. Well, you yelled at your dog. That's a bad tree. That's bad fruit. And I know him by the fruit. So how could you get angry at your dog? How could you get angry in traffic? How could you lie or exaggerate or be prideful unless you are a bad tree? So you must not be born again. And so it has so much frustration and confusion when we grab verses out of context and try to apply them where they're not supposed to be. The best way to apply that verse for us is to say, yes, I am a good tree, and all good things come from God because of that good tree. But I'm still wearing the outward body of the bad tree, and that's who I wrestle with in my frustration. So verse 10, and Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. My inner body is alive because of righteousness, because of the new nature. So the new nature brought to life my inner body, my inner man, my inner set of emotions and intellect, but left my outward man, my outward part of my soul, dead. It was not rescued. And he goes on, for if the spirit of him, talking about the new nature of him, who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So if you are born again and are a good tree, here's the promise. He who raised Christ from the dead, so the way that Jesus was brought out from the dead and collected his mortal body. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his mortal body in the moment was changed, transformed into a new outward body. So Jesus went into heaven wearing his eternal body, an eternal body, so that when you go into the new earth, when the trumpet sounds, you will get the new eternal body yourself. That's what all this is talking about. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body, or quicken. Quicken means instant transformation from darkness to light, from death to life, from sin to righteousness. So he left you in a body that was dead, not dead like a dead animal, but in death, in darkness. However, don't be discouraged, because your inner man is alive. The Spirit brought to life your inner body. It is alive and lit up by that new nature. You are righteous because of that. So you are a good tree. That's who you are. But you're wearing the body in death. That's left in darkness, left in death. And that's the source of your battles. That's the source of every problem you face. Every wrong desire, every wrong thought is the norm, the natural mortal body, the leftover of the bad tree. You're not a good tree on a Sunday and a bad tree on Monday, but you're wearing the body of a bad tree. Now, many believers want to ignore their outward body. In other words, I just believe that I'm free. I believe that I don't have to give in to that. You can't believe away the natural man. You'll just sit in the back of the room, say, I'm not here. That's right. Just ignore me. I'm not here, and ride you on your back the rest of your life. The job of a believer is to mortify the mortal body, to begin to take the voice of the bad tree that you're wearing, that's covering you, this body, and mortify it and totally live out of the good tree that you are. You are a good tree, but you're wearing the flesh of the old bad tree. You're not a bad tree because you struggle. The root of you is in Christ. You're rooted into Christ. You are a good tree. Even if you have battles and struggles, you are still a good tree. It doesn't make you a bad tree. It's important you understand that, because so many people, because of their ongoing struggles with things, it doesn't just have to be sin, smoking and drinking. It could be with insecurity and fear, unbelief, doubt. It can be with pride and arrogance. So many things that all of us struggle with on different levels. What's the source of that? If you listen to wrong teaching, you might think, well, it's because you're a bad tree. You never did get saved. If you really got saved, you wouldn't be doing that or desiring those things. So you didn't get saved. You're still a bad tree. That language, good tree, bad tree, was to an unsaved group. That there was only one good tree on the earth, and that was Jesus. And he was about to become the seed for all of us to become good trees with him. Born of Christ, rooted into him. But you're still wearing the outward body of that bad tree. And that's why you have the battles. Not because you weren't saved. Not because you're not a good tree. But because of the source of the battle. So you can say, I can acknowledge from the fruit where it came from. That anger didn't come from God. See, this is the other important part to understand. When you see this, you'll quit blaming God for making you that way. You know what? If God wanted to change me, he would have changed me. So I've been born this way. I was born again this way. So this is just how I am. So you just have to accept it. Because I'm just accepting this as who I am. And that's a dangerous path to get on. When you start accepting the outward man as who you are. Because it can take over your whole life. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh, not to the old nature, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die if you're not born again. If you remain a bad tree, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. So this is really an apology from God to you saying, listen, I apologize that I had to leave you in your bad tree suit while you became a good tree on the inside, and that you I couldn't remove it from you and just make you completely whole instantly. I apologize that you have to suffer and battle and overcome and mortify the outward man. But I promise you that there's hope for you, that not only can you begin to let the good tree inside of you grow and overtake everything and mortify the outward body, but in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, I'm going to replace that outward body with a new eternal body like I did with Jesus. And all the people that were in paradise waiting to be saved, Abraham and Isaac and all the Old Testament saints that were in paradise in Abraham's bosom, when they were resurrected, they also received their new eternal body. And now they're in heaven fully, completely light. When we go to heaven, we don't get our outward body yet until the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, that's when we receive our outward body. But Jesus and the Old Testament saints have already done that. So here is the message here, that you are wearing the body of the old bad tree, but you're not a bad tree. So the fruit that comes forward has two sources. Anger could come forward. Do you ever have a moment when God tells you to do something and you say, you know, God told me to do something and I'm stepping forward into it, and I have a peace on the inside, but I have fear on the outside. See, you're describing two different fruits. What is it, brother? Peace or fear? Well, God told me to do something and I have joy in my heart, but also I have a sad day. I don't know why I had a sad day. Well, what is it, brother? Sadness or joy? Peace or fear? Because fear is a fruit of the bad tree. So if you have fear, you must be a bad tree. And that's what I want you to get free from. No, you're wearing the outward body of the bad tree. The bad tree was quickened, was put to death at your salvation. But you were left in the body of the bad tree. So the fruit of fear, while you have the fruit of peace, means the source of fear is the outward body, the outward emotions, the outward part of your soul that's left in darkness. The fruit of peace is from your inner man. It's from the inward part of your soul that was rescued and made a good tree. So yes, you can have both emotions in the same day, in the same hour, sometimes in the same minute, even at the same time, because there's two sources to your emotions, the outward body and the inward body. And so when you know this, you can be free and safe to know, even though I'm struggling with that emotion of fear, it's not because I am a bad tree, because I'm a good tree. It's because I'm wearing the body of the bad tree, which was not rescued yet. But there will be a moment when the trumpet sounds that I will receive a new body, a new eternal body, and I'll never have these struggles again. So now I'm going over to James. James chapter 1. Oh, let's just read a little bit today. James chapter 1. James, verse 1, a bondservant of Christ and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. So it tells us a little bit that James's language is going to be for Jewish believers. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, and no one doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he would receive anything from God. for he is a double-minded man, now unstable in all his ways. So here he's given a picture of a man who asks God, but not in faith, and he's tossed to and fro one way, then the next way. And he calls him a double-minded man. This is important because in the imagery of a good tree and a bad tree, in the imagery of the inner man and the outward man, in the imagery of the new man and the old man, you can see that you have a spiritual mind and a natural mind, and that thoughts come from both sources. The spiritual mind will tell you the truth of the Word of God about who you are. You are a son of God. You're a child of God. Where the outward mind will tell you of other things, and that you can be double-minded in the sense that you're trying to include the natural mind into your life as who you are. You're trying to include the natural mind as giving you direction. One day you're following the advice from the spiritual man, and the next day you're following the advice of the old man. You're living both ways. You're never changing. You're just tossed to and fro. You're not moving down the ocean. You are just back and forth, back and forth. And that's kind of the picture he's painting, that someone is blaming God for their struggle, saying that God made me this way. There's many churches today that are allowing things that we would have been in shock of 20 years ago. Praise and worship leaders, pastors, associate pastors who are accepted worldliness as who they are. I mean, they're happily getting tattooed up and living in fornication or even confused with their identity and saying, no, God loves everyone. He does love everyone. But they're making these people like this, our leaders, saying, no, they're okay to be a pastor or a preacher, to be a leader, because God loves them and look how nice they are. And what they're doing is they're accepting the voice, the identity, the opinion of the outward man, and they're saying, God made me this way. And that's part of the argument in James, is don't blame God for bad fruit. Don't blame God for bad fruit, because that's not of him. That didn't come from him in you. That came from your outward man, not your inner man, not who God made you. The only thing God will tell you about you is you can be holy. You can receive what God says who you are as who you are, and you can become that and live that, and it become exactly who you are. That everything else that's contrary to the Word of God is a lie, even if it's coming from within you. Well, I got saved, and I still, that desire is still there, so I guess that's who God wants me to be. That's the confrontation in James here. You are a good tree, yes, but that evil thought, that wrong desire, that insecurity, that fear is not from the tree that you are, that God made you. That's from the outward body, the bad tree. That's the leftover of the old man. You're still wearing the body of the bad tree. Verse 9, let the lowly brother glory in the exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower fails, and the beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is a man who endures temptation. So now he's talking to you. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. So blessed is the man who endures temptation. You don't give in to him. For when he has been approved, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So why are you being tempted if you are a good tree? If you're only a good tree and that's it, the job's been complete, why are you being tempted? That's a message of transformation, is because you're still wearing the outward body. And blessed is a man who doesn't give in to the temptation. Now he tells us about temptation here. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor can he himself tempt anyone. So if a believer says, well, listen, you may say it's sin to go get drunk, but why, if I'm saved, what's wrong with me getting drunk? I want it. I think about it. I'm desiring it. And see, bringing in the temptation to blame it on God, here James is saying, no, that it's impossible for God to tempt you with evil. It's impossible because there's no evil in him. So the temptation isn't coming from God. Don't blame God for not finishing his work. Don't blame God for making you or leaving you the way that with your struggles. He's not the source of your struggles. He's not the source of evil. He's not tempting you. He didn't make you that way. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. For each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So now he's describing that when you're tempted, it's not God tempting you. God didn't make you that way. But you're still tempted. And he's telling you why. Because you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. In other words, there's something in you, and I would be more specific here, there's something in your natural man that desires to do something. And the devil finds that desire and creates a temptation exactly with a desire that he found in your flesh, your outward body. And that's why you are tempted. So, you know, like I have friends, I won't say who, or family, I won't say who have given up so much because of drugs. Shockingly, how a person's willing to throw away family, friends, their whole life for some stupid drug and experience. And if you came to me with a drug, a whole plate of drugs, a whole truckload of drugs, I'm not tempted. There's nothing in me that wants it. Why? Because the desire to sin is only there if it's in your natural man. So that's why we don't overly judge people who struggle, because they may struggle in one area. But let's be clear, you have your own areas that you can struggle with. And it may not be drugs, it may be pride. Religion feeds pride, which is more dangerous than drugs, in my opinion. So when the devil looks at you, he scans you, and he looks for weaknesses. So you hear things like the spirit of lust. Well, there's no spirit of lust walking around in the sense that there's a devil, green, ugly face, big old wart nose, wearing a high heels and a red dress, coming around trying to flirt with the men in the church. There's no like spirit of lust who is that. As much as the devil scans you and finds that the lust, the desire for something, and then he becomes that to tempt you in that. He has to find the desire in your flesh first, in your natural soul first, before he'll tempt you in that. You know, if you ever see those people who read a crowd and they start to talk to others about, oh, your grandma, I see your grandma, it's Grandma Joan? Yeah, yes, my grandma. Yeah, she passed away, yeah. And she's telling you that she loved the picture that you gave her and she's still thinking about you and that person cries, and you're wondering, like, wow, is it real? Is he talking to grandma? We know from Scripture, no, that psychic is not talking to grandma. Grandma's hopefully in heaven. He's not talking to grandma. Grandma or whoever is either in heaven or hell. They're not here on this earth as ghosts. But who are they talking to get that precise information? Well, the Bible calls it familiar spirits. These are little demons, low-level demons that take notes, and they study your life, and they know what time you go to bed, they know what you eat, they know what you like, And these little demons have notes on you that they can report, this is Alan's weakness. This is their weakness. This is what they desire. They're called familiar spirits. And what a devil does, what a demon does, is they come and begins to design a temptation around exactly the brokenness in your natural man. And it can be sin, but it can also be discouragement, loneliness, depression, pride, arrogance. Can be all those things. That the reason the devil's able to tempt someone is not because God made them that way, and not because God is tempting them, but because there is a desire left in their natural soul, part of their soul. I'll call it the bad tree, the skin of the bad tree, or the outward man, that hasn't been mortified yet. And so that's why we're tempted to sin. It's not because God made you that way, and it's not because God is tempting you. And that's part of the argument. Well, maybe this is just the way I am because I asked God, you know, take it away, and he didn't. A little girl one time in the prayer line, and as a youth pastor, you learn a lot because at least young people are honest. Little young lady came to the prayer line, you know, Pastor Alan, I'm a little embarrassed, but I have feelings for the wrong type of boy, desiring him very much, and he's not the right one for me. But I want you to pray that God will take away my love for him. And what you learn with young people, especially, is once they fall in love, they become very stupid. And that's probably the same for old people, too, that they're not thinking right once they get in love. And will you pray for me that I won't love him, that I'll wake up in the morning and all my feelings for him will just, God will take them away. See, that's kind of the idea. Well, I woke up and God didn't take away my love for the bad boy, so maybe it's God's will that I stick with him. Don't blame God for the wrong desires. Don't blame God for not doing a good work in you, because you are a good tree. The seed was planted. You are a good tree, but you're wearing the body, the leftover of the bad tree. Again, you can't just believe it away. I'm not the bad tree. I'm only a good tree. That's who I am. Good for you. That's where you start. But don't ignore the flesh, because it'll just hide in the back of the room and say, no, I agree. I'm not here. You don't see me. You don't see anything. Just pretend I'm not here. The flesh can't be believed away, identified away. It must be mortified, put to death. Verse 14, James 1. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So every good gift is from above. When he says above, it doesn't mean like love is good, hate is bad. So it's the good, love is the good gift. He's talking about things that only originate in God from above. There is a love that only originates in God that he wants to grow in your inner man, which will help you to overcome the fake love of your outward man. There's a peace, a joy, a kindness that can come from God. There's a holiness that can come from God, and it grows inside of your inner man. The good tree grows. The whole point of a good tree is that it has to grow. A tree doesn't come complete. You have to grow it. It grows inside of you. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, these are emotions that originated in God, not on this earth, but in God. That's the gift from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. There's no incomplete love. There's no love of God for me looks like I'm nice to my neighbor, but the love of God in you means that you can be mean to your neighbor. There's no shadow of turning. There's no confusion. This is God in you. This is God through you. That is the outward man. That is the flesh. That's not from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So trying to scare people, force people to behave right, you better live holy or you're going to hell, that doesn't produce righteousness. Righteousness is already in you because you're a born again child of God. And the fruit of that righteousness is why we pray, why we worship, why we meditate the Word of God, is because that righteousness of the nature of Christ in us to grow forward into our inner man, and that good tree that we are produces more fruit. And then we're able to, at the same time, from the growth of the inner man, mortify the outward man. There's a difference, and I'll close with this, but there's a big difference between denying yourself versus mortifying the old man. Denying myself means there's a temptation for me to do something I know I'm not supposed to do. And it could be that maybe it's watching too much TV, or it could be for some people sin. It can be pride, envy, anger, jealousy. You know, we can make a big list. I say all that because I don't want anyone thinking, oh, I don't smoke or I don't drink. I'm good. I mean, those are the easy ones. The harder ones are the pride and the self-righteousness. We cause by praying in tongues, by worshiping privately with God, by spending that time, we're causing that good tree to grow. We are the good tree. That's who you are. To grow, the fruit will come forward of love and joy and peace, and even holiness will come forward. The reason you have to deny and resist the temptation is because there's something in your flesh, your outward man, that wants it. And when you deny and resist it, that is faith saying, that's not who I am anymore. God did not make me that way. The world made me that way. My family made me that way. My bad decisions made me that way. Sin made me that way, but God did not make me that way. God only made me righteous. Well, why am I struggling then? Why is the battle? Well, endure that temptation. Resist. That's you saying, no, I don't accept you as who I am anymore. You belong. You're from the bad tree. You are not a bad tree, but that temptation is from the outward man, the desire, the defeat, the discouragement, the lies of the outward body. That's the desires that the enemy is using to try to pull you away from God. So yes, you resist and deny it, but you don't stop there. That's just the beginning. The true victory is when you mortify it. You allow the Holy Ghost to shine a light on the root of where that desire is in your flesh. Jesus said, the prince of the world is coming after me, but there's nothing of him in me. So when the devil came to tempt Jesus, there was no desire for sin in Jesus. So he couldn't tempt him. No desire, no temptation. No temptation, no sin. The true way to victory is to mortify the desire. And then there's nothing of the devil that he in you. There's no desire that he can use to build a temptation to draw you away. Mortification is the end. That's where you, from your inner man, build up in the fruit of the Spirit, and then you find the root. The Holy Ghost shines a light on the root of your struggle. He may not even tell you how it got there, but he knows. And when you're ready to win, he'll pick a fight for you, and he'll show it to you and let you mortify the root. And then there's no longer a desire in you for sin. Until then, you resist, you deny, and if you fail, you repent, and you keep doing that, but you keep praying and worshiping God and allowing that good tree to grow up. You are a good tree. Knowing them by their fruit does not mean when something you struggle with comes forward and you struggle with it to say, I guess I'm not saved. I must be a bad tree. That's not what that verse means. That verse we read in Matthew is talking about saved and unsaved. But you are a good tree, but you're wearing the body of the old tree, the bad tree. And it's your job to deny it, resist it, and mortify it. Don't blame God for it. Don't be double-minded. Be secure. I am who God says I am. I'm righteousness. I am to live holy. I'm to be humble. I can have love, joy, peace of God grow in me so much that it overtakes my life. We've been talking about the struggle of inner healing and trying to overcome the past and brokenness. The true victory is this. Don't let go of the truth of who God says you are. You are the good tree. Don't blame God for your battles. Don't blame God for your struggles. Don't blame God for tempting you, testing you. Know that you are a good tree, but he had to leave you in this body. This outward body is where the desires for sin, for brokenness, every bit of brokenness that you struggle with is in your natural man, not in your inner man, because you are a good tree. You are righteous in God. I love you and thank you for taking time with me today, and I'll see you soon. God bless.